and welcome back to the Second and Two podcast. I'm your host, TB. I've got my co-host, producer extraordinaire, hoodie connoisseur, new room liver.
Yeah.
Jody!
I gotta finish putting up these things. Like I told you last time, all the stuff's right here. As you can see, the hats are there. I brought those inside the house. But, you know, I still need to go get some tacks and stuff, or even those little sticky things that are right there. Get those, utilize them, get some stuff on the walls. There's that painting over there that's been there the whole time. Last time I kind of angled the camera so it was out of the screen, but that's there.
Now we can see, like, part of it.
Yeah. But my bad on keeping you up late. I know you're working overtime right now. 11:20 over there. My man was snoozing when I hopped in the chat, just for those listening. It was kind of funny.
You got to catch some Z's when you can, bro.
Yeah,
you got to.
You're not wrong.
No, I'm juiced up, though. I was excited for this podcast, bro. Week one of the NFL season going into week two.
Facts.
You know,
we got to get you your update. And then I guess maybe even a little preview for tomorrow.
Yeah, man. So we started the year off shutout, cloud 9, 28-0. Right?
Yeah.
Week two. Yeah.
Highs of the highs.
Week two. Can't get much lower than where we were at week two. We went on a four-hour road trip against a team that we felt very confident we were going to beat.
Travel.
Sir. And instead, we lost 40-8. All right. So, this week, starting quarterback towards ACL.
Ooh.
Out for the year. The backup quarterback went in. He also got hurt during that game. We won't have him this week.
Damn.
Hopefully, we'll get him back for the next week. So, when I say lowest of lows, couldn't have got much worse.
So you got,
that's what I mean.
Now playing QB, huh?
Nah, we took a senior receiver, middle quarterback this week.
That's our guy that pulled up on us senior year. The dude that came out of nowhere from Georgia.
Yeah.
He ended up.
Yeah.
That's basically what you guys got right now.
Chris. Shout out Chris, wherever
Chris?
He's at right now. Yeah.
I'm surprised you remember that, bro. I just remember he wore Crocs in the gym.
Yeah, he did. He did. So we're down some guys this week.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing a team from New Mexico. They're coming into Texas. All right, so we got to put up some for
the
Texas. No, they're coming to us.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah. So we got some guys down, but we got a great opponent this week, and we did have a great week of practice. Even today, after a pep rally. Still had a great practice. I was impressed with our guys. A little maturity.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're ready to roll tomorrow. Like, it's one of those deals where back's against the wall. You're missing your starting quarterback. You're missing the backup quarterback. You know, you don't have a lot of depth. You got to kind of just say, we're going to man up and be tough and go play. And so we've gotten a little adversity come our way, but that's – it's not a bad thing to have as a team, and that's what we sold
chip
the kids
on
this week. And so I'm excited for it. I think they're ready for it, and we'll see. I mean, the team we're playing, they like to throw the ball around the yard, and we're going to challenge them. So I'm excited for it.
Hell yeah. Yeah, get after it with the boys. Make sure your QB's up to speed, aka the wide receiver. Hopefully he knows the routes at least, because that's where he was.
Hey. Well, the kid is extremely smart.
Automatic.
The kid's extremely smart. He understands the offense inside and out. That's why he's the one playing quarterback this week. So we got a shot
RPO
though. I think absolutely not. No,
he'll
be handing the ball off. Is what he'll be doing.
Okay. Put it in the bread basket. Make sure you let go. Make sure
we'll
can feel it.
We'll see, bro. I mean, you know, he may be able to sling the rock just a little bit, but for the most part, he's gonna be handing it off, and we're gonna be trying to run for 300 yards tomorrow.
Okay. Sounds good, man. Well, good luck tomorrow. Sorry to hear about what happened last week, but hey, one thing about football, it's always going. And you could only, roller coaster.
Football's got highs and lows, baby.
Yeah.
No matter what, you're going to have highs and lows. Got to roll with the punches.
Hey, speaking of some lows too, man. Week one, we already got some injuries out there going bad. We got our guy Jordan Love, got the MCL sprain. It hurt me in fantasy. I didn't get the last throw from him. We got Malik Willis coming in. Everyone's saying, bro, this dude. I don't know if you've seen the Barstool meme. There's a dude called Sasquatch. Lil Sass is what they call him. And they're like, there's a meme of him where he's like pointing. He's like, me? Like, I'm the one? And so someone posted that on Twitter last week. I had me rolling. But yeah. And then, you know, to make matters worse, you know, obviously we're recording tonight on a Thursday night. We seen the Bills-Dolphins game. I have Tua on that team as well. So now I don't have a quarterback. So we'll see what happens next week. It's going to be a time.
Hey, prayers up for Tua, man. The hit he took tonight did not look good.
That's kind of ironic that you just said that, because the guy that made the tackle was prayers for DeMar.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of weird because it wasn't like helmet to helmet or anything. It's just like Tua tried to kind of lower his shoulder and run through DeMar Hamlin, and he just sort of got rolled up like into DeMar Hamlin's like chest. It looked really weird.
It was like the weird head angle. I was listening. I don't really know.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was just a weird head angle. It almost looked more like, I would have like guessed a neck injury more so than a concussion, but. Mm. Yeah,
I heard he had the Tua fingers again, and I was like, damn.
Yeah, he did, and that's the thing that's concerning. Really hope the guy's okay. And maybe lighter news, Tom Brady made his broadcasting debut last week when Browns played the Cowboys. And I'd say it was rocky. It was a little rocky. He wasn't crisp in his first broadcasting game. Mm-hmm. But if you know Tom Brady, you know he's going to get better, right? So I kind of expect him to be better as the season goes.
Well, I didn't get to listen. I was watching Red Zone in Spanish. So there's that. And so when it comes to what I've heard about it is that I guess people were saying that he was kind of not really putting out like info like that, like you see with like the Manning cast or even like Tony Romo. And he was kind of just, you know, playing with the water, dipping his toe in, you know, kind of making things a little awkward here and there. So I'm sure over the next couple of weeks, he'll lock it in.
A lot of awkward silences where you're like used to hearing the broadcaster, the color commentator add. And he was kind of just laying out, you know, and letting
the
play speak for itself. So
yeah,
I think he'll talk more. He'll get the rhythm and flow of it, and I think he'll be better. But yeah, rocky start for TB12. We'll see how he does next week.
And you know, as we continue through the week, man, more injuries. We had at CMC. He's got the Achilles tendonitis or whatever it was, and out week one. But Jordan Mason performed like a baller. So I mean, it looks like they're definitely missing him, but it wasn't like it was the worst in the world. They still had a baller running all over the green. Great iron. Yeah.
And then we got Puka.
Yeah, bro.
Gonna be out for a few weeks for the Rams. Looks like maybe 4 weeks, 5 weeks. So McVay's been very non-committal on that. But similar injury to what he had in camp. Looks like he re-aggravated it in the Lions game. So something to keep an eye on. Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp went off in his absence.
True.
But they certainly are going to need Puka if they're going to be a contender in the NFC West this year. So we'll see what happens with that. Certainly not all the NFL news, but that's the big stuff right there. Mm-hmm. It's time for us to get into our week one awards. Award season, it's back, dude. Oh my gosh. We've been waiting all summer for this. Week one of the NFL season, the awards on the 2nd and 2 podcast. Award number one, the Tuqua Gamer of the Week Award, given to the gamer, the dude who just shows up and balls. Jody, who is your Tuqua Gamer of the Week Award?
My first award winner for the Tuqua Gamer of the Week goes to Saquon Barkley, still in the NFC East. But on a different team, he's with the Dirty Birds. My guy put on a clinic out there in Brazil first team to take a dub down in the Southern Hemisphere. Let it be known. But he ran for 109 yards, 24 carries, 2 touchdowns, and then had 2 receptions, 22 yards, and another touchdown. My dude went nutty. Just destroyed me in fantasy as well. So, you know, another one of those where I had to eat it on another end. But Saquon, still the workhorse that we seen when he was on the Giants, and even better now with the Eagles. So that's my first winner right there.
Love it. I have Baker Mayfield. Awesome in week one. Mm-hmm. Guy went 289 yards, 4 touchdowns, no turnovers. The Bucs killed the Commanders 37-20. He's just been efficient getting the ball to his playmakers. It looks like he and Mike Evans just have developed such a great rapport.
Yeah,
sure. I'm impressed with Baker, and he's keeping him rolling. You know, a lot of people were giving Dave Canales a lot of credit last year for what Baker did, which is not to say that Dave Canales didn't help, but you know, Baker's an old school dude. Like, he's just gonna pull himself up by the bootstraps. Things get tough, he's gonna get tough. You know,
yeah.
And I respect Baker a lot, so I'm excited to see what he does the rest of the year in Tampa, but he had a great week one.
Definitely. Gamer. Yeah, him, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans put on a show too. Next up, so, we got
My
dog of the week.
Yeah. Ooh, ooh.
And so this one kind of hurts a little bit, but that last drive alone was enough for this guy to earn this. David Montgomery, NOT, just ran all over the Rams, took it. Like, I think like 70 yards. I don't know. They threw in our guy Gibbs for like a play. He couldn't get the tutty. They said, "Hey, get back out there, son." David Montgomery, boom, 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 powered through the line, got the tutty, and it was just like, man, tough to see. But that dude ate up the defense when it was crunch time. So, Montgomery, dog.
David Montgomery was a dog, and that sets up our minor setback for a major comeback. Same game. We're going to Matthew Stafford. May not have won a game or have won the game against the Lions Sunday, but he looked like a star. STAR, all caps. Should have a big year as long as he stays healthy. Dude went 34 for 49, 317 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Made some no-look throws. Couldn't quite make that last throw to seal it, but was getting beat up all night. Backup O-line everywhere. No Puka, just pretty much Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp. I mean, it looked like the Super Bowl all over again, where they were just making it happen with not a lot going on around them. So, minor setback, major comeback, Matthew Stafford. I think we're going to see a big year from him, even though they lost in week one.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, we do have one. It was empty earlier. I didn't know if anything too crazy happened. Looks like we got two of them, though. Is it one no cap, another one's hats off?
Nah, dude, they're both just no cap, hats off.
Okay,
all right.
Okay.
So we're going to break this game down, this play down a little bit, but I don't want to step on that. But Will Levis, don't know if you saw, he legit just like throws the ball to the Bears and goes full surrender Cobra before the play's even over as he watches the Bears score 24 points without scoring an offensive touchdown. Incredible
2-point conversion
performance. so just a lot going on there, but Will Levis, I mean, just it's one of those plays you just don't see NFL quarterbacks make, which is why it's just like, wow, that really is no cap, hats off right there. The other one that I thought was worth mentioning, the Broncos got not only one but two safeties against the Seahawks despite their loss. I thought about this like I researched on how many times a team has gotten two safeties in one game. It can't have happened like that many times.
I think the last time it happened was 2017 or 2015. I don't remember what the stat was, but it was on the Broncos. So they allowed two safeties on themselves, and they played the Dolphins. I heard that. But
there you go.
It's rare. It's really rare. That's for sure.
There you go. No cap. Hats off.
Is it on? It's there. Best believe it. Let's see. Moving along, we know we love our big fellas. Offensive, big fellas.
Gotta show them love.
So this brings us to our Strahan Munoz Big Fellow Award. And this week, you know, we seen the score. What was it? 30-something to 7 or something. The Saints versus the Panthers. So,
yeah, they looked good, bro.
Yeah, definitely. So I had to go tune in and see what the big men were doing up front. This week, I'm giving it to the left guard, 62 on the Saints. His name is Lucas Patrick. First things first, you know they were balling. If my guy had an early day, I don't even think he played the second half. He was cooking.
Wow.
So one knock I'll give him. He's a little bit slower off the ball, but he gets where he needs to go, so he gets the job done. In pass pro, my guy's good with hand fighting, so he's good at keeping their hand off of him, and then he's strong enough to steer them whichever direction you want to go. Good vision, so he's there for the help. He helps with the center, helps with the tackle wherever he needs to be. And leverage, like I said, when they were running the ball, you just see him getting upfield, moving people out the way. A lot of zone over there in New Orleans. And my dude was making it happen. He would even hit him with the shoulder, like, I'm going to cut you off so you can't get over there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was looking good out there, Lucas Patrick. A little older, that's why he's a little slower, but man's just cooking.
Hey, I commend you for taking the time to watch that game, because bad game.
I watched it for another reason, too. It was definitely a bad game, but we'll get to that one later.
So, on the Strahan side of things, TJ Watt was cooking. Oh, my gosh, bro. The Steelers defense. In week one, in a win over the Falcons, he recorded 4 tackles. 2 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 3 QB hits, and a fumble recovery. He also had another one that didn't count because they technically called him offsides before the start of the play. But he was unblockable. Like the Falcons were worrying about him all day, all game long. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. And while we're here, I do want to give a little honorable mention. Aiden Hutchinson also had a great day for the Lions against the backup Rams O-line. He was incredible in that game as well. But TJ Watt was doing it against starters, which is why he got the nod here.
Yeah, no, that one where they called him offside, initially I thought the same. And they ran that replay. I was like, man, this dude is just too good. He literally, as soon as it was moving, he was gone.
Yeah.
That dude's way too nice. And, you know, I think the week before I said they were going 0-17, I might have... fumbled the bag on that one. So
I
did say they had a good defense, though.
I have them as the number one defense in the NFL, and there's a reason. And TJ Watt's a big part of that.
Yeah, so, definitely.
All right, we're moving on to the Who's Cooking Award, which is given to a quarterback who is absolutely cooking, or one who's maybe cooking up something not so good. Jody, who is cooking for you at the quarterback position?
So I wish I would have took the time to write down these stats, but I did not, sadly. I'm a dumb for that one. But on the screen over here, it says no mix. It's supposed to be Bo Nix, but Google Docs did not like
no
Bo
mix
as my.
I thought you were giving him a nickname, like you were trying to cook him, like no mix, like Bo Nix ain't it.
Bro, he couldn't mix that.
Yeah, no mixing skills. He wasn't cooking. Like I thought you were cooking the man.
Nah, it was just a typo due to Google Docs. But what it comes down to is we seen how he played in the preseason. Week one, rookie quarterback. There goes to show that the preseason, it might help with some rust if you've been in the league a little bit. But when you're a rookie, the game speed still ain't the same. It don't translate over. So my biggest concern was just, you know, a little hiccup. My dude threw a couple picks. Couldn't really drive the ball down the field. I don't know. I'm sure this is one of the comeback moments in a couple weeks down the road. I'm sure we'll see some better play from the kid. But just week one, NFL rookie quarterback, just kind of bad all around, except for our guy, Jaden Daniels. He was running literally everywhere. But I think everyone else had a tough week all around.
I mean, I think Bo Nix was not he was not awful. I think he showed some promise. He made some, you know, week one rookie mistakes, of course, threw a couple picks that were, you know, ill-advised decisions. But he also did some stuff where they're right in that game, and he was competitive. And Seattle's not an easy place to play. I thought, you know, I thought Bo Nix, I thought he was okay. I think he'll be okay.
I'm just saying, from the preseason to that week, you know, preseason I was high.
Yeah, well that's on you, man. That's on you for thinking preseason was telling you what was going to happen week one.
Yeah,
come on, bro. Hey. On the flip side of this, you went Rook. I'm going vet, who's supposed to be a savvy vet, but didn't look like a savvy vet in week one. He was
no mobility.
He was cooking up. He was burning something in Atlanta out there. Kirko Chains wasn't wearing very many chains this week.
Wing Hut or whatever.
Yeah, he was looking bad in his debut in Atlanta. Wasn't seeing the field well. He went 16 for 26, 155 yards, one touchdown, two picks, two sacks. I'm going to chalk this one up to a little bit of rust here. It's his first start coming off the Achilles. Yeah. Got to get the man, you know, some slack. Brand new team, new OC, new receivers, all that stuff. There was some weird stuff going on with formations where they only played out of the pistol. He didn't go under center like he normally does.
I don't think that's his forte right there.
Well, a lot of people were speculating maybe he can't move as well yet. The Achilles. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. But I do think he'll get better as the season goes. I do think that. I don't think that's indicative of who Kirk Cousins is as a quarterback now in his career. You know, we'll see what happens moving forward. But he was not good in week one. Hopefully, for his sake, he does get better in week two and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with you. The Achilles definitely was showing a little older. Like you said, new team. And you're going against TJ Watt. That's tough. That front core is insane. So tough for my guy, Kirko Duggins, but we'll see. Time will tell. Let's see. Moving on, the next award. You want to stay out of this category. I'll tell you that right now. This is the Boo Boo Evans Award.
Yeah.
And this week, our guy, it kind of ties back to what I was going to do with my who's cooking, but I figured I'd lay off this team for a little bit. It's kind of tough. So I went with Deontay Johnson. My guy went 2 for 6, so 2 catches on 6 targets, 19 yards. They started off the game with throw to my guy, threw a pick. kind of tough. So, yeah, I mean, Bryce Young and Deontay Johnson don't really got the chemistry right now, as you can see. Especially off the first play of the game. So I'm sure over time they'll develop that chemistry, get things right. But week one was not hot for the boy, so he's the Boo Boo Evans man.
Yeah, Boo Boo Evans, not a good award title. Tough one. So that wraps up week one awards. I'm sure we'll add as we go and farther in this season and beyond. But great week one of the NFL season. We want to look at some things to look for as the year goes, and we call turnover on downs. All right, it's first down, and I'm going to give you a trend. Let's pop up the tape. Something I was seeing during the games this weekend. I want to talk about that new dynamic kickoff, Jody. First of all,
we did see a kick return.
Yeah, what are you thinking about the new dynamic kickoff? How are we feeling about it?
I think you should just boot it out the end zone, honestly. Who cares? Give them the ball on the 30 or whatever it is. It's not that big of a difference from what it was last year. You know what I mean? Why not?
Hey, every yard matters, dude. Every yard matters. Hey, all right.
If you don't believe in your defense like that, I don't know what to tell you.
So, well, apparently you don't believe in your kickoff team is what you're saying.
No, I'm saying the defense should be able to hold and lock it down and not let force a punt. Get them off the field.
No, but you're giving up field position if you don't kick it and trust your kickoff team.
All right, you know what? Real answer. You get John Barron out there, booted up in the sky so your team can get there as soon as he catches it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
you get one of those rolling.
The cool thing about the new dynamic kickoff return is it does appear that we will get more returns. We didn't get many tonight during the Thursday night football game, Both teams were pretty much kicking it out the back of the end zone. But during the NFL season or week one slate, you know, we saw a lot more kick returns than we had seen the year before in a similar time frame. So what I want to talk about is some stuff I think you're going to see on some of these kickoffs, all right, some of these kickoff returns. Mm-hmm. You've got some special teams coaches who are very creative, right? Staple of offensive run schemes is counter, right? And back in the old days, right, when you had the old school kickoff and teams were really kicking it to force teams to return it, you know, you had the wedge, right? And then the wedge gets outlawed and, you know, all that good stuff. Well, then you had teams who were trying to get more creative, you know, running like almost like run schemes on their kickoff return, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get to the point where teams are just kicking out the back of the end zone. Teams really aren't using schemes on their kickoff return as much anymore. And it got real vanilla and dry. And it was kind of like, man, we might just want to outlaw this play. Okay, well, we come up with this new way of doing it, right? We see it, a version of it on, I believe, the USFL originally.
I don't know. And
now it's the UFL with the blend of the XFL, whatever. All those leagues, right? But point being, we see a version of it there and we say, hey, you know what, this might be something we can use. Okay, so you're gonna see the Bears have a very successful kickoff return here running just counter run scheme, right? So the two guys I have highlighted, the one in the middle here is gonna be your kick guy, right? And then the deep off returner is gonna be the wrap guy in the hole. Okay, so we're gonna watch that. Everyone else is blocking down, right? And it's nice because with the dynamic kickoff, right, all these dudes are lined up across the field. They're all there. It's very defined, right? You can see who you're supposed to block right in front of you. So it makes it easy on the kickoff return team because those dudes are all right there. So let's let this thing play and see what the Bears do on this kickoff return. Here we go. You'll see once the ball is caught, right? That's when they can start moving. There's the kick man. Right, he kicks out. There's the rat man in the hole, and boom, we're off to the races, just like you would look in counter.
They were getting cooked this past weekend for sure.
Yeah,
I remember I seen one. The dude went for the tackle and kind of just bumped into his leg, and you know, couldn't make a play on it.
I would expect us to see more creative stuff with this moving forward. Again, this was just a simple counter seam kick wrap, and kickoff teams are going to have to be creative in how they combat that stuff just because you don't have a lot of flexibility in your alignments and things like that, right? It's pretty standardized. So kickoff return teams, I think, have the advantage now, and it may lead us to seeing more kickoff teams do exactly what you said, Jody, which is kick that thing out the back of the end zone and take it on the 30 because that dynamic kickoff return element is scary because you can't do a lot to combat it as a kickoff team if you're seeing these dynamic returns, these schemes that are going to make teams really difficult to defend. So I wanted to bring that up because that is a new play, and I do want to notice, you know, the trend in terms of what teams are doing, whether they're kicking it out the back of the end zone or they're forcing a return, and then when they're getting the return, what are teams really doing? And that was the first most creative scheme I saw on Sunday with the Bears.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you have YouTube TV?
No.
Okay, because this past weekend, like I said, I watched Red Zone in Spanish. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I think I'm out on Red Zone. Why? Because so I have like what's that thing called? The Amazon Fire Stick, you know?
Yeah.
And the English version, the US version, was really laggy. So I went over to Spain. Oh. Pretty solid. And that's why I was in Spanish. But that the quad box might be onto something. You know? You get a watch.
I do that.
Like the kickoffs, I didn't watch many of them because they don't show those. It's besides the one that got returned. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I Red Zone doesn't give you enough of the game flow. I've said this before.
Yeah, we've
Red Zone's cool, but as someone who likes to watch all the plays,
you can't.
I am a quad box guy. I'm like trying to watch as many games as I can while the, you know, So, yes, mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. That's why I've never been a huge red zone guy. If I'm not paying attention, really, that's what I can put on is red zone. Yeah, but if I'm really locked in, yeah, I'm not watching red zone, just being honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really tempted to just scroll through each channel and be like, oh, okay, Saints game. Okay, that's cool. They're on the 50. Go to this one. Oh, you know, but didn't happen. But let's move it along here. Second down for the turnover on downs. I'm giving y'all a bet for next week. So I did a quick little skim, and these are two that were speaking to me. So the Chargers -5 versus the Panthers. Sounds nice to me. We saw what happened to the Panthers last week. And let me see where they're playing before I lie to you guys. They're playing in Carolina. But Harbaugh, he's going to run the ball all over these boys, let me tell you. So -5, I like that. Ladd McConkey, probably catch a tutty again. We're going. And the other one that looked good to me was the Patriots versus the Seahawks, +3.5. We saw what they did last week. Like I said, another team that shocked me. Y'all heard me the week before laughing when I was talking about these teams. So they got a little soft spot in my heart right now. So +3.5 sounds pretty good, but ultimately I'm gonna give you the Chargers as my answer, but there's a couple to look at right there.
Hmm. I like it. I like it. All right, let's go to the third down breakdown. All right. And we're gonna look back to I said we'd be breaking down a play from this earlier in our last segment. We're going back to the Bears-Titans game. I promise I didn't do this on purpose, but it is impressive when you watch a team dominate a game on special teams and defense. They have a young quarterback. They were losing from the jump. They were down like 10-0, I think 17-3 at one point. Like, they're in a tough spot with a young quarterback, and yet they didn't panic. Their defense and their special teams were great. They had a punt return, or I think a punt blocked for a touchdown. They had a kickoff return that put them in great field position to get the field goal, which we watched, right? Mm-hmm. There's that kickoff return. And then they go get a touchdown on defense. So this is the third down breakdown, right? We're going to watch critical third and six situation for Will Levis and the Titans, up one with 7:50 left on the clock, right? In this situation, young quarterbacks have to know punting, not the worst thing in the world here. You're going to pin them, right? You're at the 45-yard line. If you just throw an incompletion here, or even if you took a sack, you're going, hey, you know what? We're going to punt. We're going to pin them. And we're going to make those dudes go drive the length of the field to go kick a field goal to take the lead. And then even then, we still have the time on our side to go get it back. So no matter what, the biggest thing is just don't turn the ball over here if you're Will Levis, right? And the Bears, on the flip side, the Bears are throwing heavy, heavy pressure, right? They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys at the line of scrimmage, right? They're showing like they're going to send 6. Okay, this is a simulated pressure, which means they're showing something, but they're not actually going to do it, right? They're going to show and drop out, okay? Now, on the snap, you'll see number 6 from the slot shows off the slot, and now it looks like they're bringing 7. However, they're going to drop out here, right, with this backer who was mugged up in the A-gap, and they're going to drop the edge guy, right? So really what they're sending is 5. And they're playing a fire zone underneath, behind it, right? They're playing 4-under, 2-deep fire zone here, where you have a flat defender, a hook defender, a hook defender, a flat defender, and then you have 2 deep half players, right? So now you simulate that pressure. What it did, especially with this Mike Backer mugged up in that A gap, and then he drops out. He occupied the center. Okay, tackle kicks out to the end.
Yeah.
Well, now you end up with the guard corner on the inside rusher, and it lets number 6 come scot-free, where you end up with the back who stepped up in protection and the guard on this player because they're thinking number 53 was gonna blitz and then he dropped out. Empty. And then they never saw him off the slot. He blitzes through. He's going to come scot-free, right? Another pass rusher on the other side is going to win a one-on-one after Levis gets flushed into him. And now Levis is running for his life. He's trying to just get the ball out of bounds for an incompletion. Instead, he throws it right to Tyreek Stevenson, who picks it off and runs it back for a touchdown. Design of this blitz was very intricate and well-timed. Mm-hmm. I love the call on 3rd and 6 in such a critical moment against a young quarterback who's going to be prone to mistakes. I don't think you could have dialed up a better pressure there than what they did. I love the show and drop. It's really good stuff. You can see it from this angle, right? Again, you're going to look like you've got this man coming and this man coming, and those two are going to be the two that drop out. You don't even see the man off the slot over here who is going to end up coming on the pressure, right? Right inside here. Boom, drop, drop, right? Now look at the back. He steps up in protection here. 76 realizes, oh, my man dropped out. Okay, I'll help with the back right here. So instead of getting the back on number 6, that blitzer there, and the guard on that man there, because they have enough guys to pick this all up, right? They have 6 blockers for 5 defenders. They can pick this up, but because of the disguise and all the stuff the Bears did pre-snap, you get one coming scot-free, and Will Levis feels that, right? So he starts escaping. Well, he escapes right into a pass rusher who's winning his one-on-one rush, who then, you know, gets him in the grasp and forces the errant throw to Tyreek Stevenson. And then you saw at the end of that clip, Will Levis goes full surrender cobra right there. not a good body language posture, because he knows he legitimately just gave the game away to the Bears. Oh, what was he doing? But the Bears, that's great defense. I love to see it. I freaking love to see it. You know what? Hey, we might even do some stuff like that tomorrow on our defense. We might even do some show and drop out. All right. I love that stuff. Those are called simulated pressures. That was a simulated pressure that became a fire zone. Nothing cooler than seeing some stuff like that from a brilliant defense. I love that from the Bears.
Yeah, no, the hands on the head disappointment in himself was tough to see, but he, with the pump fake, he should have known to just tuck it instead of trying to hit the, I'm going to flip it for the, incompletion.
In that scenario, at that point, the best thing you could have done, just eat it, take the sack, dude. Take the sack and punt.
Yeah.
And make him drive the length. It's okay.
Yeah, that's a tough situation.
Young quarterback.
Young gun. Yeah, the young gunslinger. Let's see. 4th down on the turnover on downs. My bad beat. So, Trevor, let me paint this picture for you.
Okay.
It's August, right? We got the Olympics going on. In a bet, you get a free bet worth $20 in the future. Well, you know, your boy was hungry back then. Said, hey, you know what? I'm going to put a bet on some NFL week 1, because why not? It's a free bet. What do I have to lose? Literally nothing. I can only make money. No matter what it is, I'm making money. So, Prize Picks. Your boy, CJ Stroud, less than 266 and a half yards versus Indy. Cha-ching, 234. Chris Godwin, 56 and a half. You know Baker's slinging it. We're getting over that. 83 total. Kenneth Walker III, 60 and a half versus the Broncos. That's easy money. We get 103. All right. three out of these 4 that I'm about to give you, right? James Cook, he didn't really run the rock like that last year. I think, you know, he picked it up in the end of the year. Didn't really do too much, though. 69 and a half versus Arizona week 1. Nah, bro, we're getting 71. So, needless to say.
You missed it by a yard and a half.
Yes, sir. And that I cooked up August the 2nd. 2nd of August. So a whole month later, you had to look at this every day just to make $15 as opposed to a hundo for free.
So
James Cook sold me on that one.
So you're saying James Cook needed to get 2 less yards. That's it. That's all you needed.
2 less yards, and I would have had a hundo piece for free.
Sorry, man. I'm sorry.
I made $15, but, you know, could have been a hundo.
Yeah. There's always that could have been, right? Nothing's worse than it could have been.
But I cooked it up a month ago. Yeah. I got to give myself some props.
No, that is some credit right there. And that's a great way to end the turnover on downs. That is a truly terribly bad beat. And turnover on downs is one of my favorite segments. I mean, I love awards, but I do love the turnover on downs
too. We get the
breakdowns. We get the bets. We get the combination of the things you and I do best. That's why this podcast works, Jody. It's why it works. Speaking of why this podcast works and what we're looking forward to, week two, I'm just going to read off the games for you in week two, and I want you to tell me which game you're looking forward to the most.
For sure.
Ready for this? Raiders at Ravens. This is the morning slate. Chargers at Panthers. Saints at Cowboys. Buccaneers at Lions. Colts at Packers. Browns at Jaguars. 49ers at Vikings. Seahawks at Patriots. Jets at Titans. And Giants at Commanders. That's the morning slate. There's a lot of games. I think that's 10. Yeah, 10 games, dude. 10 games. Which of those 10 in the morning are you thinking you're putting on the TV?
I think
Lions Bucks is a good one. Rematch of the NFC Division.
That one's definitely on
game.
My list. Yep, definitely on there. I'm thinking Jets Titans could be interesting. Giants Commanders now.
Could be interesting.
You got Daniel Jones who isn't looking too hot, and a young dude who's slinging the rock and running everywhere. That one
I'm
could be
curious
fun.
About Saints at Cowboys. Like, the Saints looked really good week one. It was against the Panthers. The Cowboys also looked really good week one. It was against the Browns with Deshaun Watson and what he's got going on. And we didn't touch on that in this podcast, and we're not going to because I just don't feel like going there with that guy. But like, Saints at Cowboys, Saints at Cowboys is a decent looking game too. And then also, part of me wants to watch that Packer Colts Packers game because I just want to see what is the Packer offense look like without Jordan Love.
I think the last one would be the Browns Jaguars. See that defense versus.
I think the
Trevor
Jags
Lawrence
are gonna
put on a show.
See, I have a feeling the Jags are gonna smoke them in that game a little bit. It's in Jacksonville, so it's hot, it's humid.
Ball.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Get them in the pool.
Okay. The afternoon slate: Rams at Cardinals, Steelers at Broncos, Bengals at Chiefs. I think all those games are pretty interesting, actually. I'll watch them all, more than likely. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be obviously focused on my boys.
Yeah.
But those other two games will probably be on my TV at different points. And then the Sunday night football game is Bears at Texans. I am excited for that one. Excited to watch that. That's going to be a good one. Caleb Williams or CJ Stroud. I'm excited for that.
I think our guy D'Amico is going to put on a show with that defense over the young rookie.
We just watched what the Bears defense did, though. That Bears defense is good.
That they are.
People don't want to admit it yet.
Statement. That is a true statement.
That Bears defense is good. They got some players over there.
I mean, I can't really be saying like the rookie quarterback is tough because we've seen what CJ Stroud did last year. But
now Caleb had a tough debut. He was not good. But that's what I'm saying. I want to see it. I want to see week two. I'm curious. There's a lot there. And then Monday night is an interesting one. Falcons at Eagles.
Tough.
The Falcons looked miserable in week one, and the Eagles looked pretty good against a good team. So that has a weird potential energy to be like a blowout, but I feel like it's not going to be a blowout. That game's going to probably end up being close. I think Kirk Cousins will look better. The Eagles might come back down to earth a little bit.
I also hope
so. I'm curious about that game.
Because the way I see it, I think the Eagles D with Kirk being not the most mobile right now, looking for a tough day for Atlanta. But on the other side, we got to see if Saquon's going to still be the man of the world or if Jalen Hurts going to have to do a little bit more and move the ball around to the receivers. So we'll see what happens.
I think outside of the Rams-Cardinals game, the two games I'm most looking forward to is that Bears-Texans game. And I'm kind of with you on Jets-Titans. I'm curious about Jets-Titans. I want to watch that game a little bit. So the week two slate is not like anything crazy. There's no like heavyweight title fight matchups like it felt like there were in week one.
Yeah.
But
a lot.
Week two, it's off to a kind of a terrible start with this Thursday night game. Bad game.
Blowout.
Thursday night games have been known for being bad for years, and it was bad again tonight. But we'll see. Well, hopefully the week will pick it up.
Definitely.
So I got the banger of the week.
Good game. Yes, sir. Let's hear it.
I'm going to go with a movie that I watched recently with Jill. It's called Long Legs. Nicolas Cage plays like a, I guess you'd call him a serial killer. If you've seen the movie, you know why I'm saying, I guess you'd call him that. If you haven't seen the movie, you're wondering, how can you guess that you call someone a serial killer? It's a lot to explain. Watch the movie, basically.
Okay.
But,
okay.
Hey, Nicolas Cage went crazy on that joint. He did.
Right. What's he the went crazy, bro. Meaning behind
it's unrecognizable.
Does unrecognizable. Does that play anything to what the movie's about?
I'll give you just quick synopsis.
Okay.
Quick synopsis. You get a woman in the FBI who clearly has some sort of like, I guess, clairvoyant or spiritual ability to just like see, like just be able to know that someone's a serial killer, basically, or like they're just like bad.
So
she's like,
that's so Raven.
Kind of, right? So she gets on this case, or she gets put on this case that they haven't been able to solve. And it's basically the husband of a family kills his family and then himself.
Oh.
And this has like been a spree of these things. And every time at the crime scene, there's this like note written in like a code that they can't quite depict. And it's always signed Long Legs. Oh. And so she's trying to figure this out. Who's and, bro, it's wild. It takes a lot of twists and turns. You don't expect the ending. You don't even like the way that you get there. The whole thing. I'm just telling you, good movie. Definitely worth the watch.
So like a thriller.
And Nicolas Cage is terrifying.
Okay.
Yeah. Unrecognizable and terrifying.
He's got like makeup on or like, what do you mean unrecognizable?
Yes. Yeah. Heavy makeup, bro. Heavy makeup. Yeah. If you didn't know it was Nicolas Cage, you wouldn't know it was Nicolas Cage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. So that's my plug. Long Legs. Go see it. Very interesting movie. Pretty creepy and pretty weird, but good. Good movie.
There you go. Movie of the week right there.
There we go.
You know what it is. It's at that time of day where my guy TB gets to go rest up for the game tomorrow. You know what I mean? My man's got to get a good night's sleep, get a good breakfast in the morning, make sure he's right for the squad. And you know who's closing us out for all that? Our guy Ray Ray, taking us out, baby.
Special Tony, I ain't about to go in front of Pony. I'ma show you just how bad I want it. Hear the passion, I promise I know this is my moment. I've been working, I've been putting music online. I've been patient, but I'm sitting on a gold mine. I had it since I'd have known time. Gotta rewind to understand my punchlines. In the past, I was overlooked, usually been the underdog player. This ain't nothing new to me. I can see the competition worry, so they stop and listen. I promise ain't no politicking with the opposition. This is something different, I'm something you never seen. Writing lines and touching minds with every stream. 6 feet, bury beats to say hello and Apollo. I promise I'll be the hardest act to follow. Make way for the chosen one. Listen to the passion, man, he on the sun. One's up in the air if you know some. Better tell him, make way for the chosen one. Make way for the chosen one. Listen to the passion, man, he on the sun. One's up in the air if you know some. Better tell him, make way for the chosen one. Back home and the vision got them all tripping. I see the change, let me break it down, sit and listen. See where I'm from, they don't make it to the finish line. They have a dream, but they give up on it every time. So when they see me, they don't treat me like they used to. Probably cause they witnessing something that they ain't used to. I am not the usual, I am an anomaly. I'm just trying to multiply my paper like Monopoly. Call this out probably, will he make it possibly? Honestly, I'm tripping, man, name somebody that's stopping me. This already written, I'm just living on my prophecy. Regardless of what happened here tonight, I'll still be popping B. Man, I did this on my own too. Put myself in this position on my own too. You know who you are, I don't need to expose you. I'm looking at everybody who got it like I told you. Woo!
Make way for the chosen one. Listen to the passion, man, he on the sun. One's up in the air if you notice him. Better tell him, make way for the chosen one. Make way for the chosen one. Listen to the passion, man, he on the sun. One's up in the air if you notice him. Better tell him, make way for the chosen one.